Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Kayla Hall.
Years into the recovery, and we've yet to hit the robust growth rates that you think of in an economic recovery.
Greg Harkenrider, Deputy Executive Director of the Governor's Office of Economic Analysis, says Kentucky is on the verge of a recovery that just hasn't happened yet.
A Pendleton landowner and retired teacher speaks out against the proposed bluegrass pipeline.
And schools across the Commonwealth are gearing up for the start of a new school year.
In sports, the Bengals preseason opens tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, highs in the lower 80s. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
Kentucky's emergency management chief has resigned after a team of auditors found misuse of taxpayer money, intimidation of employees, and an overtly hostile workplace within his agency. Governor Steve Beshear said he accepted John Heltzel's resignation Thursday morning, 2 days after State Auditor Adam Edelin released findings from a review that found some $5.6 million in questionable spending in recent years, some of it on alcohol, entertainment, and door prizes at conferences. Edelin said current and former employees of the agency described a hostile work environment that discouraged them from reporting waste, fraud, and abuse. Beshear said in a statement that the audit made it clear that new leadership was needed in the agency.
An Ashland resident who is visually impaired has appealed to city commissioners to restore Saturday bus service. Dana Angelette told commissioners this afternoon Ashland's public transit system is vital to the lives of many people.
You know, I'm a legally blind guy. I depend on the bus to get around. And, you know, when the buses don't run, you can't go where you want to go. And I'm not the only one. There are thousands of other people in town that rely upon the bus.
City commissioners recently eliminated Saturday service because of reduced federal support for mass transit programs.
Ashland City commissioners voted 4-1 this afternoon to provide subsidies of more than $50,000 to various nonprofit organizations in the city. Cheryl Spriggs cast the lone dissenting vote. She calls herself a supporter of the work those groups do in the community, things like arts programs and festivals. However, Spriggs says that she doesn't believe those efforts should be underwritten with taxpayers' money.
Look, the people sent me to be good fiscal steward of their money. This is not my money. I think it's my decision to give it away like that. If people want to support these entities, they have every right to do that. It's not my decision to support it for them.
Commissioner Larry Brown voted for the appropriations. However, he says he had to ask himself some key questions first.
Number one, can we afford to continue to do this? And is it our job and our responsibility legally? And also, I think that if we do provide these contributions or funds, then they must be completely transparent with what they do with the money. And if we ask questions, they have to answer them.
The largest payments are going to the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center and Pogue Landing Days. Each is receiving $16,000.
House Republican leaders are offering a legislative redistricting plan that would force 8 incumbents to run against each other next year. The map unveiled today by House GOP leader Jeff Hoover affects 4 Republicans and 4 Democratic lawmakers. Hoover says the GOP plan is very different from a plan put forth earlier this year by Democrats that had 9 Republicans running against each other, but no Democrats.
So what we propose today is a much fairer plan, which put one pair of Democrat incumbents against each other, one pair of Republican incumbents against each other, and then 2 what are called mixed pairings, where there is a incumbent Republican against an incumbent Democrat.
Given population shifts in Kentucky over the past decade, Hoover says it's impossible to redraw legislative boundaries without pitting incumbents against each other. The GOP proposal will put Democrats Rocky Adkins and Kevin Sinnott in a matchup against and Republicans Toby Harold and Marie Rader in another contest. Republican C.B. Embry and Democrat Brent Yauntz would face off in a mixed incumbent race, as would Republican Bart Rowland and Democrat Wilson Stone. The General Assembly convenes in special session August 19th to redraw legislative boundaries to reflect population changes recorded by the U.S. Census.
A single vehicle accident in West Virginia yesterday claimed the life of a Rowan County teen. The Morehead News reports 17-year-old Kara Conley lost her life in an early morning crash in Clay County, West Virginia. Authorities say a group of 11 people were traveling in a pickup truck at around 4 a.m. when the truck hit a guardrail and flipped, landing upside down in a creek. West Virginia officials say Conley was among five people in the bed of the pickup truck when it flipped. Conley was a senior at Rowan County High School.
A man accused in a Montgomery County murder has now been charged in a second death that happened 18 years ago. Lonnie Martin is awaiting trial in the killing last month of 25-year-old Kayla Klein of Winchester. Now Winchester police are charging him with the death of his 21-year-old cousin, Joseph Martin. Although Martin's killing was originally thought to be an accident, Sergeant Tom Beal says police now believe Lonnie Martin pushed his cousin off of a viaduct and the victim was then hit by a train.
We had a substantial amount of evidence that we put together from then and now, which led us to charge Lonnie Martin with the murder of Joseph B. Martin.
Charges in the 1995 death were officially brought against Lonnie Martin Wednesday in Clark County.
A Robertson County man is behind bars on first-degree assault charges. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports 38-year-old Keith Case of Barry was arrested Tuesday evening after Kentucky State Police went to a Reed Lane residence just outside of Mount Olivet after reports of a man being shot in the leg. According to police reports, Case had gotten into an argument with 45-year-old Vic Nipper earlier in the day over money. Authorities say Nipper returned to the home around 8:30 that evening, and he was allegedly shot in the upper thigh by Case with a small-caliber rifle. Nipper was taken to a nearby hospital for treatment. Case is charged with first-degree assault and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He is lodged in the Bourbon County Detention Center on a $1,500 bond.
The man who heads Governor Beshear's Office of Economic Analysis says Kentucky's recovery from the recession has been inconsistent. Greg Harkinrider says 5 years after the downturn officially ended, the Commonwealth still hasn't seen robust growth in employment or incomes. He spoke with Insight Cable's Pure Politics.
For the longest time, we've been thinking certain sectors would improve, and they improve a little bit. They take two steps forward and one step back. I think a lot of things are in place for the economy to take off and be post-growth rates more indicative of a robust economy. Yet, heretofore, we haven't had that.
Harkinrider is a member of Kentucky's Consensus Forecasting Group, which meets next week to begin preliminary revenue estimates for the state's next two-year budget. He says the final forecast will be made in December.
A Grants Lick woman who owns land in Pendleton and Campbell counties says if the proposed Bluegrass Pipeline through northern and central Kentucky is allowed to proceed, it could endanger individual property rights for many years to come. That's why Sean Detsch is urging Governor Beshear to add the issue to the Kentucky legislature's agenda when it convenes next week for a special session on redistricting. She says the proposed developer, Williams and Boardwalk Pipeline Partners LP, could use eminent domain to acquire the land it needs to transport natural gas liquids through 13 Kentucky counties.
The really frightening thing about it, and that people need to keep in mind, is that we need to get some regulation on these kind of companies, because right now they are in a position to just run roughshod over people's property rights, and to do it without due process, without public hearings, without any sort of accountability to the people whose lives they're impacting. And if we're going to become that kind of country, then we can't call ourselves a democracy anymore.
Williams and Boardwalk has scheduled a series of open houses to explain the project. There's one in Elizabethtown tonight and two more in Ohio next week. The Ohio meetings are in Crooksville and Hillsboro on Monday and Wednesday, respectively. All the forums begin at 5:30.
It will be expensive to fix the health-related problems that have forced last month's closure of an apartment complex that was once the home of a historic school in Mason County. Doug Waldron is a senior health environmentalist for the Buffalo Trace Health District. Waldron says it will cost around $200,000 to install a new sewer package plant at the Maeslick School Apartments. The building was boarded up after it was learned that its current plant was malfunctioning and dumping raw sewage into a nearby creek. According to Waldron, the owners of the building don't have the money for a new sewer package plant and are now trying to sell the facility.
There's a bank in Flemingsburg that has sort of taken that over. to like collecting the rent and making repairs. And when it came up to them, I mean, I reckon they got an estimate, came up to that. It was just, like you said, cost prohibitive to them to repair it, and that's why we're at that now.
Waldron adds the Maeslick School apartment building won't be allowed to reopen until it gets a new sewer package plant.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore is commending the district's maintenance workers for their efforts to get its school spruced up and ready for the start of classes. Moore says that group did a wonderful job over the summer, and Rowan's facilities look great inside and out.
Facilities right now, I think, they're about as good a shape as they've ever been, with the addition of the middle school, as you mentioned, and also renovating Tilden Hall, and then doing a lot of work inside the buildings, painting and putting new carpet down and putting tile down and those type things to keep buildings up to par and up to standards for our students.
Rowan County's 2013-14 academic year began earlier today. Moore says he conducted his own white glove test of the district schools last week, and they passed with flying colors.
A Raceland school has become the second in the area to launch an early childhood learning program with the help of Toyota and the United Way of Northeast Kentucky. Campbell Elementary has received a $10,000 grant to begin a Born Learning Academy. Crab Elementary in Ashland last year received a similar award. Toyota's Helen Carroll says the program takes aim at the fact that, according to the State Board of Education, 3 out of 4 Kentucky children are not prepared for kindergarten. She says it's an initiative that gives parents and caregivers tools they need to assist kids in the learning process.
The focus is teaching these parents how to teach their children, what they need to do to get their kids ready for school. It's a lot of very simple, common sense stuff, but with parents as busy as they are, you know, maybe they don't stop and think that a simple trip to the grocery store could provide a lot of education for their child.
United Way of Kentucky President Doug Eberhart says turning everyday interactions into teachable moments is key to preparing youngsters for success in school. Monthly workshops will be held to explain the Born Learning program to parents. The first at Campbell Elementary is September 10th. It begins at 5:30.
Whole grains, low-fat dairy products, and fruits and vegetables have long been recommended for preschoolers. And those recommendations could become a mandate over the next year. Organizations like Head Start that participate in the Federal Child and Adult Care Food Program are already preparing. Cindy Wilmarth led a training session at Eastern Kentucky University.
We do hear that if not this year, next year, there will be a new meal pattern coming out that instead of best practice, that will become a requirement. Just like the schools have had to change this year, we will too.
Typically, the types of foods mandated by the federal program have not changed much year to year. Wilmarth says training sessions will also be held this month in Bowling Green and Louisville.
And finally today, the Jesse Stewart Foundation Open House will be held tomorrow from noon to 6 at its historic headquarters in Ashland. This observance of Jesse Stewart's 107th birthday will celebrate his legacy as a world-famous educator and writer through a variety of his and others' creations. Dr. James M. Gifford is the CEO and senior editor with the foundation, and he says the event will have a lot to offer.
We have a number of educational displays, including a quilt display, some demonstrations of traditional music. About 10 of our authors will be here to sign books that have been published by the Jesse Stewart Foundation. And of course, we'll have refreshments and birthday cake.
The open house will include special events and displays, discounted merchandise, and refreshments. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Bourbon, Magoffin, and Morgan. This afternoon, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain is 50%. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Locally, heavy rainfall is possible, lows in the lower 70s, chance of rain 50%. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, locally heavy rainfall is possible, highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain is 70%. Currently in Ashland, it is 82 degrees. In Flemingsburg and Winchester, 80 degrees. Lexington, 82 degrees, and in Inez and Moorhead, it's 77 degrees.
The time is 4:45, and you're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on 90.3 FM, Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Joshua Grandison here with Kayla Hall, and we are just delighted and thrilled that you can join us on this Thursday afternoon. On today's feature segment, compressed natural gas is no longer a thing of the distant future for West Virginia drivers. With three fueling stations in the early phases of construction across the state, CNG will be available to drivers along the I-79 corridor within the next 2 years. But there's still the question of who those stations will supply the fuel to, as West Virginia Public Radio's Ashton Mara reports.
As IGS Energy was finalizing plans to break ground on their third compressed natural gas fueling station in the state, Ford Motor Company announced they would join other U.S. automakers to produce trucks with dual-fuel systems, allowing them to run on CNG. But not just any truck, the Ford F-150, one of the most popular, top-selling models in the country.
I was like a kid on Christmas morning, game changer. Ford's doing the 150.
To say he was simply excited about the announcement may be a little bit of an understatement for IGS's West Virginia manager, T.J. Meadows.
You're talking about America's best-selling pickup truck, and they're going to make this truck ready to run on CNG from factory. That's huge.
Meadows is quick to admit the CNG fueling industry has always run into a bit of a chicken or egg conundrum in the state. In this case, which comes first? The infrastructure of fueling stations to provide compressed natural gas, or enough vehicles on the road to keep the stores open? Meadows believes the problem is resolving itself.
We're solving both sides of the equation at once, and the equation is almost vanishing, because you'll have infrastructure like we're building available here in West Virginia, and then you've got a major auto manufacturer coming forward and saying, we're going to take one of our best vehicles in our line and make it CNG ready because the market is demanding it.
That market in West Virginia, Meadows says, is mostly made up of fleet vehicles. Private companies like Antero Resources, Chesapeake Energy, and EQT Corporation have already committed to using the I-79 CNG stations to fuel their trucks. At the state level, Governor Tomlin has supported the idea of transitioning portions of the state fleet to use the alternative fuel as well. Meadows says the Department of Highways has also committed to using the three fueling sites, which, when complete, will be located in Charleston, Jane Lou, and Bridgeport. But Meadows is hoping the Ford announcement will do more than just encourage the fleets to stay true to their commitment. He says he believes it will also pique the interest of the average consumer looking to save on fuel costs.
It opens the market completely so that companies like us that are building this infrastructure and stepping forward to do it have available vehicles that customers can use on the infrastructure. What will happen, and what I firmly believe will happen, business will prove the viability of using compressed natural gas as a transportation fuel. And then you'll see consumers start to get very interested.
The F-150 with a dual fuel option runs about $7,000 more than the model only fueled by gasoline. But Meadows says the dramatic disparity in the price of fuel will make a difference in the long run for the consumer. Currently around the country, a gallon of CNG averages around half the price of a gallon of gas. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Tanner has been keeping a check of sports, and he's up after a short timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU's East Kentucky Small Business Development Centers, serving 25 counties from offices strategically located in Ashland, Moorhead, Paintsville, and Pikeville. Experienced and professional business counselors provide assistance with business planning and research, financial loan options, record keeping, legal issues, and marketing. Serving the businesses who serve East Kentucky. More information online at moorheadstate.edu/SBDC.
Let the games begin. Good afternoon from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Tanner Boyd. The Cincinnati Bengals have their NFL preseason opener tonight. They'll be at the Georgia Dome at 8 o'clock to square off with Atlanta, who they scrimmaged earlier this week at the Falcons training camp. Quarterback Andy Dalton is about to begin his third year as Cincinnati's starting quarterback, and head coach Marvin Lewis wants to see Dalton take another step in pro development.
His first year, Andy was the quarterback. Last year, he was leader of the offense, and now it's time to be leader of the football team just go through that progression.
Lewis made those comments earlier this week to Solomon Wilcots of the NFL Network. Michael Vick will start for the Philadelphia Eagles in their preseason opener against New England on Friday night because Coach Chip Kelly says it's his turn to go first in the quarterback rotation. Nick Foles also will take snaps with the starters, and Kelly says the second-year pro will start the second preseason game. Both Vick and Foles are expected to get between 12 and 20 snaps versus the Patriots. The two QBs have been competing for the number one job since Kelly's arrival in Philadelphia. Rookie Matt Barkley will come in after Vick's and Foles. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Jonathan Dwyer led the team in rushing a year ago, and now he finds himself fighting for a roster spot. The 24-year-old Dwyer is in a three-way battle between Isaac Redman and rookie Le'Veon Bell for the starting job. Dwyer led Pittsburgh with 623 yards rushing in 2012, but had trouble staying healthy. A pair of costly fumbles also cut into his playing time late in the season. While excited about recently being named Rowan County's number one quarterback, Devin Helvey admits he's trying to play it cool. According to the junior, he'll maintain an even-keel approach to the situation.
You know, you can't get overexcited. You can't get overconfident. You have to be humble and, definitely want to, be successful, but you can't, go into it too fast and overwork yourself. You have to be calm and relaxed and still execute at the same time.
Helvey will get his first real test in just over a week when the Vikings scrimmage Bourbon County. The Colonels went 13-1 last season. After sweeping two games from the Oakland Athletics at home, the Cincinnati Reds are enjoying a day off before they start a weekend set with San Diego tomorrow night at Great American Ballpark. With 48 games left in the regular season, the Reds are 7 games behind first place Pittsburgh in the National League Central. If Cincinnati wants to make a run at the Pirates, right fielder Jay Bruce says the Big Red Machine's offense will have to do its part.
From this point on, we need everyone we can get. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We've had a good season so far. We've played well, but we haven't played as well as I think we can, and I think that we're going to. So each one is important.
As for Pittsburgh, they had an afternoon contest today at PNC Park against Miami. They won in the 10th inning, 5-4. In other MLB news, the Mets topped the Rockies 2-1. The Phillies were leading the Cubs 10-1 at the top of the 8th inning, and the Giants were leading the Brewers 4-0 at the end of the 2nd inning. The St. Louis Cardinals recalled right-hander Carlos Martinez from AAA Memphis to take his first career start tonight against the Dodgers. The Cardinals also recalled left-hander Sam Freeman from Memphis and optioned right-hander reliever Keith Butler and first baseman and outfielder Brock Peterson to the team. After coming off the 3-game sweep of Asheville last night, the Lexington Legends will kick off their 4-game series against the Hagerstown Suns. The Legends are still a half game ahead of the second place Augusta in South Atlantic League's Southern Division. Game time this evening is scheduled for 7:05 at Whitaker Bank Ballpark. Morehead State Women's basketball coach Tom Hodges believes having his players on campus over the summer will pay off for the Eagles next season. Hodges says in addition to helping them improve their individual skills, he was able to jumpstart the installation of MSU's playbook for the 2013-14 campaign. He thinks his veterans benefited the most from that work last month.
I saw that group make just tremendous strides, not only skill-wise, but leadership-wise. Those group of seniors and juniors really did a nice job embracing a role of being leaders on this team. And then when our newcomers came in and joined up with our veterans in July, we just were very productive and had a great week finishing up.
Hodges hopes his players will work hard to stay in good shape before they return to campus in the next week or so to start classes and begin team conditioning drills. Morehead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon thinks the next few weeks of preseason practices will be critical for his team as it prepares to make a run at its 8th straight season of at least 20 wins. The Eagles won the OVC's regular season title last season, also posting a 26-7 overall record. While saying MSU has the chance to be very good again this year, Gordon won't make any predictions.
You never know. There's so many variables, things that you can't control, things like injuries and stuff like that. But I really like the squad that we have. I think we've got a tremendous returning core of quality players. Our defensive core is returning from last year, but we also got some great new players coming in and some really good athletes.
The MSU volleyball team starts the 2013 campaign with a 3-match event at the University of Cincinnati that begins on August 30th. And finally, Tony Stewart is out of the NASCAR Sprint Cup race on Sunday at Watkins Glen International, and he's been one of the masters at the storied road course. With only 5 races remaining before the chase for the Sprint Cup championship begins, Stewart's chances of winning a fourth series title more than likely vanished Monday night on an Iowa racetrack. Stewart, who has recorded 5 wins at Watkins Glen, remains in a hospital recovering from surgery to stabilize 2 broken bones in his right leg. He was injured driving his open-wheel sprint car when it flipped. That means road race aces Juan Pablo Montoya and Marcos Ambrose have one less force to reckon with as they seek their first victory of the season. And that's sports. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks ended slightly higher today, breaking a 3-day losing streak as all 3 major indices rose modestly as strong corporate earnings and a favorable jobless claims report lifted sentiment. The Labor Department said jobless claims rose by 5,000 last week to 333,000, which was slightly lower than expected. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow with a modest gain of 27.65 at 15,498.32. The S&P 500 was up 6.57 at 1697.48, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 15.12 at 3669.12. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 19-10 in favor of winning stocks over losing stocks. Gold was up 2.18%, and oil was down 0.45%, and the bond market was little changed as the benchmark 10-year Treasury finished with a yield of 2.59%. Groupon stock surged today after the Daily Deal site posted strong sales and announced a $300 million share buyback program. And the rally bumped Groupon's market valuation to $7 billion, which was well above the benchmark $6 billion figure that Google reportedly offered for the company back in 2011. Tesla shares rallied after the electric car maker reported a surprise quarterly profit. Tesla's Model S also got the top crash test rating from the government, and the stock was generating plenty of buzz among traders on stock twits. SolarCity, which is chaired by the Tesla CEO Elon Musk, reported a wider loss than analysts had expected. The stock tumbled on the news, but one trader still expressed support for all things, traders overall still expressed strong support for the company having an association with Elon Musk. And JCPenney was a top gainer in the S&P 500, following reports that the struggling retailer started a search for a new CEO to replace its interim head executive, Mike Ullman. Turning out to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.23 at $89.04, AEP up 5 cents at $45.52, AK Steel up 8 cents at $3.50, Marathon Petroleum up 77 cents at $72.49, CSX up 41 cents at $25.82, and Windstream was up 36 cents to finish at $8.24. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. From small towns to big cities, wherever you go in Kentucky, there's a good chance you'll see a Toyota Camry. And for good reason. It's America's best-selling sedan made right here in the Bluegrass. But Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky does more than build world-class cars in Kentucky. They're an important part of our communities, providing thousands of jobs and millions in donations to local organizations. Toyota is honored to be a part of your community.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall is possible. Lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain is 50%. We'd like you to be advised that there is a flash flood watch in effect through Friday evening. Temperatures, 82 degrees in Ashland, 80 degrees in Flemingsburg and Winchester, 82 in Lexington, and 77 degrees in Moorhead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Asa Hosada, and as always, Dan Conte. From West Virginia Public Radio, Ashton Mara provided today's feature segment. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kayla Hall and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State's Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. The time is 5 o'clock.